After Buzzers, this is not a test. This is the Purge After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. That's right, we're talking episode one of the Purge, so stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh. That's too scary.
Hide your kids. Hide your wives.
That's what it's all about.
Oh, man.
Well, and then,
to make it all better.
God damn, you're genius.
Sacrifice, sacrifice.
Guys, you know what that siren means. That's right. We're talking episode one of The Purge right here on The Purge After Show. Very first episode. I'm very excited to be here. This panel is very, very excited to be here. My name is Ty Matthews. Y'all can find me online at Ty Matthews PMA. But more importantly, joining me is this fantastic panel over there on the far left. You've seen him on the Cloak and Dagger After Show. You've seen him talking about My Hero Academia. You can find him on Twitter at Ollie Dreamer. Guys, this is Ollie Dreamer.
Oh, thank you. That was an intro. Oh my God, you're amazing. Yeah.
You're so I'm like, I want to know you more.
Thank you.
We've got a diverse panel. We've talked about such varied programs before. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. To Ollie's right, you can find her online at It's Jamie Gray. You've seen her talking about The Four, talking about Pose, talking about Claws. Guys, this is Jamie Gray.
Hey guys. I'm happy to be here.
So excited. Yeah. And to my left, the guy that picked this fantastic intro music. You've seen him talking about Fear the Walking Dead, about The Terror. You can find him online at I Am Danny Royce. Yes. Because this is Danny Royce.
What's up, everybody? Hey. How you doing?
Oh, man. Guys, let's talk about The Purge.
Let's talk about it.
Now, see, I've been slightly obsessed with this franchise pretty much since it came out. So I was excited to hear about the series. So I want to go around the table. What did y'all think of episode one?
Well, first and foremost, I think I have to just say that I'm really excited that this is given a series. And rather, it's like, I love the films as well. Mm-hmm. But it's cool because there's so much going on in this world. Yeah. And like, there's so many stories to be told. And we're seeing it in the very first episode. And I'm hooked by the very first. I don't want to get hooked with the I'm here for it. Absolutely.
Good point. I don't want to get hooked either. So I'm really excited they have this as a TV series. Mm. I have so many questions, honestly. I like that we're getting to know certain characters. But yeah, it's just, I think that they can do a lot with this show. Right. They can get really creative. Just like Ollie was saying, there's so much going on currently that they could use mm-hmm. in here. I don't want it to be overkill either. No pun intended. because there's so much that I could expect, and I don't want it to be predictable.
I don't want it
to be predictable because I love a good thriller show. So I think it's on the right track because it left us at kind of like a cliffhanger. So mm-hmm. we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, yeah,
I absolutely loved it. Like you, I was a fan. I am the fan of the series. For a long time. I do believe this show can go so many places. I already have a ton of predictions. I don't know about you all, but it's awesome. I will. But I love it. I love it. And the acting is awesome. And some of these actors, they're up and coming and they're hot right now. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. Now you get a lot of the so much of the films has been built on this tension, this ratcheting up of kind of the tension and the suspense. This entire episode is pretty much leading up to the commencement. We've only got maybe about 10 minutes after the commencement of the episode, so a lot of it is about the preparation, about different people kind of getting ready for it. Yeah. Now, chronologically, this takes place in between the second and third films, in between Anarchy and Election Year, so The Purge is going strong. I think this is 10 years after the first Purge, mm-hmm. so people are kind of out in full force, you know. But we've got Miguel. We've got a lot of this episode revolves around Miguel and his search for his sister, Penelope. Ooh. And we kind of keep getting sort of fed these tidbits of information about sort of their information. What did you guys think of his kind of his quest for Penelope?
I like that they're not like spilling everything. We're literally on this mini series journey. We have 10 episodes. They're all going to be amazing as the first one that we just watched. And I also really am interested in seeing his character. I love what he talked about in the beginning of the episode when he said it's kind of okay to be afraid. Like just because you're afraid, like it doesn't mean you can't fight. And we're seeing him fight for it to find his sister.
Right.
For sure. I was a little confused at first because I was like, what is his purpose? Who is Henry? Who is Penny? I didn't know who was his sister. You know, they show everything in tidbits like, okay, you know that he has a sister. Now what's her name? Then we find out her name. So it's like they do everything chronologically.
Right.
And also I noticed that the very first line that you hear in the show is Miguel. So I was like, okay, so it might be safe to say that he is possibly a main character, that something's going to revolve around Miguel. So yeah. We'll see.
Right. Well, Miguel, when you were talking about Oliver earlier in the episode, when he said to the boy, you know, holding your hand, got away of the fear. And mm-hmm. I took that as a message, as especially as the in the episode came, staying close to your family. Like, that's the message mm-hmm. that really he wanted to portray, because then you saw the son holding mom's hand. And, like, I think his message was, like, family's everything at this point in time. So I think him going after his sister makes total sense. And it's like, it's courageous. He's a badass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That Marine style. Right.
We see a lot of him roughing people up for sure throughout the episode.
Right.
But one thing that kind of jumped out at me was sort of the logistics of the purge. He goes to this rehab clinic, and because we know that during the purge for 12 hours, all police and medical services and fire are all suspended. But we get him wondering, okay, does that include rehab clinics? Or do they technically count as hospitals, quote unquote?
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so, but we learn pretty quick right away that the new founding fathers do not care, like, across the board. Everything is shut down. Everyone's purging, you know?
Right. So if you're giving live birth, you're screwed.
Well, see, and that's that kind of, once we start talking about Jane, that sort of, I was wondering about that, because we see her visit her mom in the hospital, but it makes me wonder, like, what if someone is in the middle of a procedure or something like that, you know? Like, are they just SOL?
That's just terrible.
There was a point about that I wanted to make, because so Jane Barber, she's with her mom, and her mom says, this is the safest place. And then I was also kind of like, Jane, why are you going to work? She's saying that's the safest place. Mm-hmm. They're both wrong, in my opinion. If you look at statistics like OSHA and NSA, National Safety Association, there's a lot of workplace violence where there's crime amongst employees. And also, a lot of the times, it does happen in healthcare environments. Mm-hmm. So you're really not safe anywhere. That's if we want to take it to, like, a realistic standpoint. But still, I'm like, none of you are safe. Your mother isn't safe. Nobody's safe.
To that point, that whole conversation and that whole line, this is the safest place, that spoke to me as sort of like almost like kind of an allegory for the whole show, you know, like everyone thinks America is the safest place. Mm-hmm. The whole point of the purge is that it drops crime down to 1%. So everyone thinks this is the safest place to be. This is
the
safest
place. That's a great point.
That's a good point.
So who knows? Yeah, exactly. But, like, she's locked up in this office, in this work environment. We don't necessarily know a lot about it. We just know that there's one floor that's completely kind of
38th floor.
Exactly. Yeah. 38th floor. They've all signed waivers that they're not going to purge, but in what word am I looking for? In response, they're not going to be, you know, they're going to be protected by armed security as well.
Sure.
So, yeah, we'll see how well that goes. We've seen how security holds up in the Purge universe before. We're going to get a little bit more into that kind of subplot. But real quick, we gotta keep the lights on. We got something real quick that we want to talk to you about. Daniel,
I got something that I want to talk to you all about. Listen up. Hey, After Buzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas to reality TV, sci-fi, tons more. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of your YouTube channels. And by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest contents that tailors to made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button now and for this channel, and make sure you subscribe and like and follow all of us, and we'll continue to shout you out.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah,
absolutely. Now let's keep talking about Jane and kind of this whole this kind of subplot that we see surrounding her. You know, we don't know a lot about this company that she works for, but we know that always watching, always listening is this guy David. And that's a very thinly veiled, you know. Everyone, you know, there's cameras everywhere. That's how the government kind of makes sure that people are participating on Purge night. So we don't know a lot about this guy, David, do we?
No. We know he's a Baldwin, though. No.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
He can't be up to any good now.
Exactly.
But also, he's Skyping in, you know? So it's like he is in his own little bubble, which also, you know, let's say if something were to happen, he's not there on site with them. So they don't know if something's happening at headquarters in this other location while all hell could break loose at this location.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's just crazy.
He gives me ultimate creep vibes.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And also, Mark kind of gave me a little creep. When they went in the elevator, they kind of
The employee,
he looked a little bit.
He wants that VP position.
Uh-huh. You never know. Exactly.
And Allison,
the
female coworker.
Allison, yeah.
She gives me some vibes. Yeah, I really like Jane, but I'm afraid of like the route she's going. Right. She seems like she has a little pent-up anger in her a little bit. She snapped at Allison. Yeah. And also, I feel like you kind of get that pent...
That she look, snapped really the look, after the she look did. On her face after Allison tells her, like, oh, the interrupt pastry.
Yeah, she's like,
just the blame, the slow
blame. Like, Jane doesn't like pastries, okay? Like,
I feel so bad
everything
for her.
From this.
Shelly filled? Like, she was probably so mad.
But I think in that corporate setting, you kind of get that pent-up anger.
Oh, of course.
You know?
Yeah. So it makes
she's got so much... stress and everything.
Massages
exactly.
Bi-weekly.
Well, if you there's a movie called The Belko Experiment. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but like I feel like it's basically almost as if The Purge or Battle Royale happened inside a workplace environment, you know?
You so watch it.
It plays off of that. Yeah, exactly.
I'll put it on my list.
It's good stuff, John C. McGinley. But we know, like, no matter what waivers they signed or no matter what agreements they entered into, technically...
Everything's legal.
Everything's legal,
So I'm like...
So someone can say, screw the paperwork. Yeah, exactly.
Someone burned the paperwork.
I'm like...
Exactly,
Like, what happened? I didn't receive any paperwork.
We could see Mark snap. Who knows?
I'll be like Miguel. I'll always have something in my bag. Like, I'm just ready.
There's probably some fine print. You never know.
But before we jump to the next subplot, what do we think about where Jane sort of ended up and her kind of transaction that she was sneaking off to do?
Yeah, I'm really confused on that.
I honestly, where I'm going with it is, I think she's, you know, she's paying for someone to get purged.
Exactly.
Who that person is, I don't know, but she has some strong ties to either her, or the family, the mom, or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see. But shout out to Asmarie Livingston. Yes. Good job on that.
Absolutely.
She did a great job. I had a feeling that when her mom said, "Why aren't you staying here?" And then when you see her at the office, and you could just see the tension building up really with everybody.
Right.
Something told me, you know, she's there for a reason. Ooh. Because it's corporate. You could, girl, call in PTO.
Exactly.
Do something.
Of course.
Call in
use
sick.
It as a flip.
Right. Or just be like, hey, listen, I'm here to purge today, so I'll catch you guys, you know, Monday, whatever it is. But
she's there for something.
She's there for something. So when I saw the girl, then the girl came, we don't know her name yet, but she came 15 minutes with it before the purge starts. I'm like, why is it so close? Mm-hmm. You can't. She's in a mess. She's in a messy situation right now, and I don't think she sees it.
Definitely. Ollie, what do you think?
And obviously, she did that purposely because it's legal. It's like that. You can't really like. You know, Asmarie's character. She's not going to get any backlash because everything's legal. So
right.
Yeah.
But she's not going to get back in that in the safe space. I don't think.
There's no going back.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. We'll see. Yeah. If she can make it back to the 38th floor.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was mad. I was like, you're still on the same floor. Like, you know, this time it passed, and I know it's, you know, TV, but I'm like, you're still there. Like, you'd be like, hey, girl, come on in. Like, let's go up the stairs, elevator, let's something.
Exactly.
They,
yeah.
They couldn't have done Venmo. Like,
thank you.
Right.
Like, you got cash on purge. Night.
You know,
come on.
But Danny, to your point, I think from what she said, you know, she said you can follow my progress on this app,
right?
You know, like, there's like, there's no guarantee it'll get filled. You know, like, she's definitely after someone, right. But the question is who
exactly.
But we could see, not to dip into prediction too early, but we could see sort of like a Warriors style, you know, plot of Jane kind of having to fight her way back up to the 38th floor. You know?
That would actually be cool.
Who knows?
I'm ready.
Now let's talk this NFFA party. Also, this benefactors committee that we see. This is another thing where we don't really find out a lot of essential details until way later on in the episode. But we have this couple. We've got Jenna. Did we get the the guy's name?
Rick.
Got it. Perfect. Got Jenna and Rick on their way to this party. They're not part of the NFFA mindset, but you know they're trying to get an investment opportunity. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of? But before we get to that, Jenna keeps getting these flashbacks.
Yes,
right.
So little menage a trois.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
So yeah, what are you guys saying?
I think I really do like Jenna's character because what she represents to me so far is kind of someone using their privilege to help the less fortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Because, like, it's so easy to quickly think of, like, okay, I think a lot of people in that party are bad people. Like, they're just, there to benefit themselves and not to help anyone else. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I can say that same thing about Rick.
Right.
Especially when we saw the preview. I don't know what route he's going to go down. But Jenna seems like a really nice person, and I feel like she really is trying to do some good in this political climate of the series.
I'm still trying to figure out. And her name is Jen, right?
Jenna.
I'm still trying to figure out Jenna out. But it's Catalina who I was like,
the maid. Oh, yeah.
I got a side eye for her.
Also, really interesting.
I felt like it was a little outdated to have. I know that you still have people help you out, but to have a maid and like the whole get up, I'm like, what's going on here?
Right. Sure.
And to have her, Mrs. Stanton, that whole debacle, and Jenna witnessing it, it's going to be some sort of a triangle, but I think watch out for Catalina for sure. I don't want it to be too predictable, but I have my eye out for her.
That's what I was looking at.
She was educated with the people in the mask, so she knew the killers.
Oh, yeah.
So she was doing her research, which I thought, why would you have murder masks? Like, that's very interesting. But also, if you notice, Jenna had said when her husband came up to her, he said, "Oh, you look a little pale." She's like, "Oh, that's just my stomach." When I saw that food, something told me that it could possibly be poisonous.
Interesting. Okay.
Because the maids could always poison them as well.
Right. And it is that very vibrant blue that's kind of representative of the Purge and of the NFFA.
Right.
Never know.
Yeah, Jenna and Rick's their whole relationship is interesting. But, you know, one thing I agree with you, but I see Rick as being more of like the passive person because as you see like in every instant, even in like when they were having their little threesome, he would always look at Jenna and get the okay. Like,
right, exactly.
Okay, can I do it? And then we did it at the party as well. And he's like, you know, do you want to go through this? So I think it's always going to be like their team. Wherever they go, they're going to move together. As far as like the whole get up in the party, like the maid situation, Catalina is definitely on something. I don't know what, but she could get Stanton. That's fine because I mean she's a bitch anyway. But yeah, like this whole thing is just crazy. But I do see what is her name? The lady, the third one. The third one in the party. Lila, there you go.
Oh, yes.
In the green dress. In the green dress. And that was purposely.
Woo!
That was
Woo!
And she wore that stunning. For a reason.
I was like, come through.
You know? Exactly. Now, that's interesting. I hadn't suspected anything of Catalina, but I think, to your point, the Stantons have to be looking out for sure. But it's what I loved about the imagery of that party is that once the purge commences, once all of those screens drop down, you know, they don't know that they're safe. They just know that they're locked in, you know, and they're basically being locked in by the flags, by America at this point. Very heavy symbolism, very heavy imagery.
Wow.
But yeah, we got a lot about that dynamic between Jenna and Rick. We heard her say that she's the creative, he's the business, you know. They know their roles, they know exactly kind of what they're both after. So they're after this money. What cost that comes at remains to be seen.
Right, exactly.
Now, lastly, we got to talk about this cult. You know, this big blue cult, as we sort of temporarily named them. We know that's what Miguel is trying to rescue Penelope from. She's trying to follow in her parents' footsteps and kind of give herself over, sacrifice herself for someone else's purge night.
I want to slap the parents. Why on earth would you do that? Like, you just left your kids out to dry, basically.
Right. Now, see, I don't know. See, that's the part that I'm not sure about, because what I'm wondering is the parents could have given themselves over willingly in the name of this cult, or they could have been purged by someone that's sort of like perverting the message.
Yeah. Right. That was another inkling I had.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, if they got killed against their will, and then this cult is telling Penelope, oh no, they gave themselves. Right. You know, they sacrificed themselves.
Yeah, no.
Definitely. I need to add more to the cult.
I mean, the leader, we haven't figured out her name yet, but crazy bitch. She's giving, letting all these people do the work, but she's not doing nothing. Yeah. She's just like preaching and sitting in the bus.
Right. When's her turn to get right. Like, go into the invisible?
Lead by example. Yeah. Yeah. Lead
and by how example. Long has she been the leader? Right. You know, how long have you been there? You're just leading all these people, and I felt so bad for what was his name?
Arthur.
Arthur.
Yeah, yeah. Oh boy.
Oh my goodness! And it was
having second thoughts at the very last second.
And I hate how they ran to him. You know? I would be like, get out! But he had said something. He says, "I've loved myself too much, right. and I've loved you all too little." Mm-hmm. So, like, to me, that kind of meant something because I think it's they're thinking of it as like a selflessness mm-hmm. thing when really it's the most selfish thing.
Right.
Like, it just makes no sense. But right. they've twisted their minds. Right. And that's what they probably did to Miguel and Penelope's parents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's so symbolic of what this cult does that they're all watching from the safety of this bus while he just walks into these this right. axe gang.
And some of them had their eyes closed, too.
And it's also it's symbolic of, like, now it's real life. Like, how many times do we get fed this message and then we turn away when something happens?
You know, right, so exactly.
it's like wow, good writing, guys.
Right. Yeah, as far as the visuals go, I loved that visual of the kind of the silhouettes right, and it just right. being projected against the bus. Because mm-hmm. obviously, with this being on the USA Network, they've got to figure out creative ways to get around uh-huh. these purgings,
blood splatters.
I mean, unless they become the next AMC, which went from like old movies to like
that is true. That is true. We've seen a hell of a lot on AMC,
right? But yeah, that whole thing was that cult. It's interesting to see what will happen, like, with because all of them are going to be sacrificed, right? Mm. So they're going to find different places to spot, and so it's going to be interesting when people actually like say no and you know, don't want to die. So.
And we already see that with Penelope. Like, she's already like right. It looks like to me that she's having second thoughts. She was scared.
Yeah,
she was shook. She stopped chanting. Yeah.
They were all talking about invisible until they saw that axe.
She stopped chanting and everything. I was like, you know the chant?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Need some water, exactly. Yeah. Something. No, yep.
Nope.
Words came a little bit more difficult. Exactly.
A little choked up.
So we're going to get into more. Real quick, if y'all are watching on YouTube, we appreciate it. We try to make this as visually appealing as we can. We've got these masks right here. We're trying to get festive. We're trying to get into the spirit. So if you're on YouTube, thank you very much, Steve. If you're on YouTube, leave us a comment. Leave us a thumbs up. But, of course, if you're listening on iTunes, we appreciate that just as much. Remember to download, comment, review, subscribe, rate. 5 stars if you're nasty. We appreciate every bit of support. So to keep talking to us, we'll keep talking to you for the next 10 weeks. We're going to be talking about The Purge.
Yes.
But let's continue on. We were discussing a little bit before the first episode what we could do to make this panel unique, to make this panel special. What kind of segments could we do? And Ollie had the fantastic idea of giving you a Purge survival guide. We're going to get a snappy theme song together. Over the course of this season, but presenting you with your Purge survival guide, Mr. Ollie Drennan.
Yes, guys, thank you so much for tuning in the live chat. First of all, I'll shout you out real quick, Cassandra Sellers. Shout out to you, Legendary Lou, Chaos. You guys are amazing. Thank you for chatting.
Absolutely,
with us.
Thanks, guys.
So every week we're going to be doing a special segment, which he just said we have our Purge survival guide. So I'm going to be. You guys got to help me out with this because. Mm-hmm. Every week, I'm going to ask a question. Okay, we need like an object or some equipment every single week that you need. Or a place that we need to go to on the Purge night. So you guys...
Stay alive.
To that point, I found out, I had noticed that when Jane was sort of, you know, locking herself in her office, when she kind of gets cleared, she switches from heels into those flats. Mm-hmm. And that... is essential because you're going to be doing a lot of running.
Right.
Right. You don't want to get tripped up.
Those are the tips you're going to get week after week. And if you guys have any, please send them and we'll shout out your tips for the week.
So there you go.
Look forward to
how
that.
To run in heels.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You don't want to get a broken ankle when someone's coming after you with an axe.
They always fall anyway.
Exactly.
We can make it cute.
Think about it. Be practical, pragmatic with your purge wear.
Yeah. Your purge wear.
To that, we saw a commercial for the Purge Shopping yes. Shopping Network during the course of the episode. I love that. I don't know if y'all were any of you guys in San Diego for Comic-Con weekend.
Yes.
Did you see Purge City?
Yeah. Oh, man. Was that an actual Party City?
It looked like it. They made it look identical to Party City. I don't know if it actually was.
They were giving off like.
You had to share some photos next episode.
Exactly. Did you go in?
I didn't.
Me neither. That line was hellish, for
it
sure.
It went around.
Exactly. But what I had heard was that, you know, they let in groups of 100 people at a time. They give you these purge bucks, and you could spend it on different, like, survival gear, basically. They had these laundry sticks that they called depurgent that you could use to get blood stains
That's
out.
That's funny.
You know?
Depurgent.
Who says you can't be clever and murderous at the same time?
And murderous.
Now, Jamie, you had found some news, right? Let's get into some news.
All right. You guys got all the tea. So we'll have news and gossip, of course, each show that we have. So for right now, I want to introduce you guys to some people that you might already know, actually. So James DeMonaco and Jason Blum. These might be some familiar names. I'm going to show a picture to them. So the left is Mr. James DeMonaco, and to the right is Jason Blum. There was something that I was looking up and researching about James, and he also helped to direct Jack. Do you remember Jack with Robin Williams?
Robin Williams, of course.
So if you Love guys it. See this little shot of Jack, it is just a great movie. J-Lo is in it. Yeah. It was like sad, but also funny. Bill Cosby was in this movie. But I was shocked. That. Like, is this crazy? From The Purge to Jack to everything else.
You know.
The guy, he's diverse. I like it.
Exactly. And then, he went on to write all four Purge films, direct three of them.
Yep. Awesome.
That is a diverse resume.
Right. Yeah. You go. So the next little snippet I want to show is just this excerpt from actually the Golden Globes website. And so it was the idea of how The Purge came to be. So some of you guys might already know this, but I want to read what DeMonaco said. He says, the seed of it was something that my wife said in a road raid incident. And so basically they were driving. He says, we were in Brooklyn driving, and there was a drunk driver who I got into a fight with. What? Road rage is on 1,000, clearly.
Jeez.
He says, Brooklyn. He was crazy, and after it was over, we were very upset, and my wife said, I wish we had one free one, or one legal one a year. And she's a nice woman, so she didn't really mean it. Sure. But it stayed with me, and just the concept of this holiday where the government said, hey, do what you will without any punishment. Brilliant idea. So basically, his wife.
Interesting.
She'd be getting some sort of
proceeds. She's going to get, she's going to get something.
Some sort of credit in the credits. We'll be looking for her name. Yeah, but
she's like, where's my check?
Exactly. Yeah, right. She wants give her dough. Don't let her purge on you,
He spoils her, I'm sure.
So the next photo I want to show is of director Anthony Hemingway. So one thing I liked about this cast, if you go on him, notice is that it's a very diverse cast. And we also have a person of color who is the director. He has also worked on, you guys, little special fact about me. I am obsessed with the O.J. Simpson trial. Okay. I was very young when it happened, but I know this case gavel to gavel. And he also worked on The People versus O.J. Simpson, which was on FX.
Absolutely.
And it's also still on Netflix now, I believe. But you guys, that is also what he did. So last but not least, Variety Review. Variety basically wrote a review about The Purge. You can check it out on their website, variety.com. They're breaking down what The Purge is all about. But DeMonaco spoke about this show as well. He says, we don't want to revel in the violence that's in the next photo. He says, for us, it's the notion of once the genie is out of the bottle with violence, how do you put it back in? You have to be careful about what you do, to use the Purge terminology, when you unleash the beast. Mm-hmm. So basically, he's like, we don't want to go too far to where we kind of lose interest. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said, I don't want this show to be too predictable. I'm sure people out there can agree. But that kind of gives us with this little empty space of what we think could happen.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good stuff.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Hell yeah. I like it. We don't got too much time left, but before we wrap up, guys, let's get into some predictions for this season.
Yeah.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Always need that theremin. Ollie, let's start with you.
Okay,
go.
Okay, I don't trust Lila. I think she's going to like somehow like manipulate Rick.
Of course.
And that's going to screw up Rick's dynamic with Jenna. Jane, I think the person that she's trying to kill might be David, if she can.
Oh, interesting. I like that.
Wow. She wants to get that seat. I don't know. She, I, I,
I like that. Yeah. I like it. I like
or maybe
it.
Maybe if there's a reason why her someone did something to her mom in the hospital, someone who caused that.
That's I was wondering about
good
that.
Good point, Jamie, what do you think? Okay, so Penelope, girl, I think she's gonna have to purge and she's gonna have to go ham on some people on that bus. She has to. What other choice does she have? Sure. Unless Miguel finds her first, but also. Little eerie, but this is just my prediction. So next week, you guys, is actually 9/11. Mm-hmm. So this show is also about America, and it's also on the USA Channel. I don't know if they're going to try to coincide some things or if it's just a coincidence, but keep that in mind, and that's my prediction.
There you go, Danny.
All right, Miguel is going to come save his sister some way, some shape, some form. I have full confidence in that.
Absolutely.
But then also, one of my biggest predictions in this building on this 38th floor, they want all these people to close this deal before 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. That's when the purge ends.
Oh, that's true.
I think they're going to have them close the deal and then kill them all.
There you go. There you go. I'm thinking... This Henry that Miguel is now seeking, I think he's the figurehead at the top of this cult. I think he's the one that's filling everyone's heads about the invisible and the great leader and all that stuff. But guys, that'll do it for episode one. Yeah. Where can they find you? Super, super quick.
Hey guys, I'm Oliver Drennan. Find me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer.
Hey guys, Jamie Gray. You can find me on Twitter at It's Jamie Gray or IG Jamie Gray.
Okay, we gotta go. I am Danny Royce. You can find me at I am Danny Royce. Thanks.
Y'all can find me online at Ty Matthews PMA. Saturday's Championship Wrestling World Hollywood. Check your local listings. And Wednesday's the Lucha Underground After Show, 9 p.m. Pacific. That is all for episode one. We'll be right back here, same time, same channel, next week, talking episode two. But until then, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Purge well.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Purge you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.